The following audio is from Life Connection Church. We exist to glorify God through transformed lives by the power of the gospel. For more information about Life Connection Church, visit www.lifeconnectionkc.org.
My name is Joshua Garcia. I'm a partner here at Life Connection Church. I've been going to this church for about 4 years or so, and not too long ago I started going to seminary here at Midwestern. So you have the opportunity, the privilege, the honor to listen to my sermon for class. So I was gonna have Chris pass out Scantrons and number two pencils, but I figure, you know, you guys can just tell me if I did good or not. So with that being said, let's dive in. Who do you say you are? Now, if you were to go home or go to a restroom in a truck stop, a McDonald's, or even Elias down the road, and you went and looked in a mirror, what would you see? Who would you see? Now, the world has a lot of answers to that question, and currently, in our day and age, over the last 10 years or so, the biggest question has been asked by the world saying, who do you think you are? How do you respond to that? Now, the world says you need to look this way, you need to believe this way, you need to vote this way, whether it be gender identity, political identity, or ethnic identity. We see the world scrambling to answer this question of identity and answer the question of who do you say you are? Now, the world is full of lies, it's full of twists and turns, and we see the world try to answer this question that I believe it cannot answer. Now, when you look in that mirror and you ask yourself, who do you think you are? Are you going to answer for yourself from inside, from your own perspective? Or will you look to the world and answer with what the world answers? Are you going to say you're good enough? Are you going to say, I have it figured out? Are you going to say, no, I'm good? Now, you can do that. And you can attempt to satisfy that answer with your job, with being a father, a mother, an employee, a coworker, a friend. And those will satisfy for a day, a week, a month, a year. However, they will never fully satisfy this question because I believe, and God says, the world cannot answer this question for you. And this morning, we're going to look at 1 John, and we're going to see what God has to say to us this morning. How does God answer this question? How does God answer this question of who do you think you are? And he turns to you, he turns to the world and says, I have good news. So the question this morning, as you leave these double doors and you go home and you look in the mirror and ask yourself, who do you think you are? What will you answer? Will you believe what the world has to say about you, about who you are, about your identity? Or will, and more specifically, do you believe what God says? Do you believe what God says? So, without further ado, I'm going to ask you to stand with me. We're going to be looking in 1 John chapter 1 specifically. I forgot to look up what page that is on your pew Bible, but it's towards the back. It's definitely not near Genesis. If you're near Genesis, go a little further back. Let's read God's word together this morning. So we're going to start in 1 John 1, 5, and we're going to go through 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. This is the word of the Lord. He says, this is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. So the big idea, the main idea, the big picture this morning is this. The gospel creates honest, humble, and holy relationships. So first, we're going in order this morning. I figure that'd be the easiest way. The gospel creates honest relationships. Again, the gospel is good news, church, in response to what the world has to say about who you are. Now, roll with me here. I'm sure all of us have experienced this before in our own past. Say you're asleep in bed, it's the middle of the night, probably the middle of the summer, so you're sweating really hard, and it's 2 in the morning, you wake up, and you're like, oh, I have to go use the restroom. So if either you're married, have kids, or both, or your roommate, you don't want to wake them up, so what do? You don't turn the light on. You say, okay, I'm going to creep. I'm going to maybe crawl, I guess, for some reason. But the one thing is for sure, you're not going to turn the light on, so you don't wake up your significant other or others. So you're crawling along, and then I brought this little guy with me. This is Batman. He has little pointy ears. Now, if you're barefoot in bed, unless you sleep with your shoes on, if you do, it's kind of weird. But say you accidentally step on his pointy ears. They're pretty sharp. Now, you're going to be in pain. I cannot give birth, but I'm sure it's pretty close to childbirth, the pain that you're going to experience. I've done this, where you're just in the middle of the dark, you're in pain, you're crying, you're trying to hold back tears. Now, it would be silly for you, some would say foolish, if you would say, okay, I could still make it to the bathroom in the dark. You're like, what are you doing? So, some would say it would be foolish if you were to do that. But you do not want to turn the light on to wake up your significant other. So you continue on, bladder full, eyes full of tears. But you step on another Batman, but I don't have Robin. But if I had Robin, think Batman and Robin, dynamic duo. So say you were to step on Robin. Now that would be super foolish, right? And you try not to wake up your spouse. However, your spouse rolls over, says, hey, I can turn the light. You're like, no, I got this. Is this how you see your relationship with God? You find yourself walking around in the darkness, saying, I can do this, I got this, I can do that. No matter what life brings you, whether it be your bank account is empty, the death of a loved one, you say, no, God, I can do this on my own. Now we see in 1 John here that if we were to walk with him in light, we have fellowship with him. And if we walk in darkness and say we have fellowship with him, we'd be foolish. So just like your spouse saying, I can turn the light on for you, I can bring light to your life. Similarly, not too dissimilar, God says the same thing. However, you need to be honest with yourself about your relationship with God. You need to say, God, I need your help. I need your comfort. I need you to bring light to my life. And to say otherwise is to be foolish. An authentic relationship with God is only possible when you are honest with yourself. You make God a liar if you say, I'm in a relationship with God, but you walk in darkness. That'd be like saying, hey, I'm married to this person. That person's like, I don't know who you are. That's silly, right? Like, you're in a committed and authentic relationship with your spouse, with your wife, with your husband, or even with your kids. It's different, but it's still the same. That relationship you have with them is authentic and it's real. But you need to be honest with yourself about your relationship with God. Next, we see the gospel. First, it creates an honest relationship. Honest relationships with God, with others, with yourself. We also see the gospel creates humble relationships. Now, another story in the dark. Megan and I went to Canada for the last week, so that's where we were. We weren't here. And on our way back, there were several instances where I was like, I'm just ready to get home, ready to go to sleep in my own bed. So it was midnight. We were flying into Kansas City Airport. It was pitch black. I had the window seat, which I was like, score. And then the seat next to me was empty. I was like, you know, God was looking out for me that night. I look out the window, and I see darkness, I see clouds, but I see streaks of lightning. I was like, Lord, what's going on? It was beautiful. I felt really small. I felt really, you know, vulnerable in that moment. But again, I was like, God, I'm ready to get home. I'm ready to go to sleep. But luckily, well, unluckily, the pilot comes on the intercom, and he says, hey, guys, there's a storm over Kansas City International Airport. And I was like, okay, of course. And he says, we can't land the plane. He says, we're going to hover around for 45 minutes around in the clouds in the dark with lightning all around until the storm passed by. He said, if that doesn't happen, we're going to go to Omaha. And I'm like, I don't live in Omaha. I want to go to Kansas City. I want to go to Kansas City, not in Omaha. There we'd refuel and wait for the storm to pass by. Now, if I was the pilot, I would fly the plane into Kansas City Airport because I am ready to get home. I'm ready to go to sleep. I'm ready to be done. The trip was fun. I'm ready to finish the trip. But thankfully, I'm not a pilot. Now, I didn't go to school and take pilot lessons or go to pilot school or Top Gun like Tom Cruise. It's a great movie if you haven't seen it. It's really cool. But even though the pilot probably didn't go to Top Gun school, he was flying a commercial airplane. But even if the pilot took the classes, spent the time flying planes, he was still humble enough to know that he couldn't land the plane in the darkness amidst a thunderstorm on his own. Because the pilot wasn't working alone. The pilot was communicating with Kansas City International Airport. He said, hey, dude, you don't want to land right now. There was an air traffic controller who is telling him, hey, it's not good to land right now. You need to wait a little bit or go to Omaha for some reason. And he was humble enough to say to himself, like, I can't do this on my own. Now, do you find yourself, church, in this moment again in the darkness? Picture you're in a plane, thousands of feet in the air, lightning striking all around you, and you're saying, no, I have it handled. I'm good. I can be independent. I don't need God. I don't need others. I'm sufficient. But where will that get you? Will you safely fly the plane into the runway? Will you crash and burn? So are you humble enough to admit that you cannot save yourself? Similar to this, the pilot is, I, myself, everybody in that plane is dependent upon the pilot. And the pilot is dependent upon Kansas City Airport, more specifically, the air traffic controller. This is a good illustration about our relationship with God. We are in this vessel. We're on this planet. And of course, we can make decisions, we can make plans, but ultimately, they're out of our control. We depend on the pilot, the one who is guiding, the one who is counseling, the one who is nurturing, the one who is providing, the one who is guiding us, ultimately Jesus. But see, then again, more specifically, we see when Jesus is preparing to go to the cross, he says, not my will, but your will, Father. So we're dependent upon Jesus. Jesus is dependent upon the Father. Similarly, we are dependent upon the pilot, or I was, the pilot, and the pilot was dependent upon the air traffic controller. Are you humble enough to say to yourself, I need Jesus, I can't do this on my own? Are you relying on him this morning? So we see the gospel create honest relationships, humble relationships. Now we see the gospel create holy relationships. So holy is a word that means set apart, to be separated, to be called out. And we, as we go further on, specifically if you do the Exodus Bible study, we see this kind of story, this journey of God calling and God ushering in this new relationship with Israel, this reestablishment of his relationship with Israel based on the promise that he made to the father, Abraham. And so there's this process called the Day of Atonement, where this priest would go into the tabernacle of God as they're going through the commandments, and he would sprinkle blood throughout the whole tabernacle. He would make it holy. He did this because God commanded Israel to do this, because they were set apart. Now, we no longer need a tabernacle or a temple or a building. This building cannot save you. It's a beautiful building, but it can't do anything to save you from yourself or your sin, because Jesus Christ is ultimately the temple and the building that we rely on. And our relationship with God is authentic because of Jesus Christ. Now, the gospel is a message. It's good news, yes. But do you believe the gospel only informs, or do you believe that it transforms? The gospel calls you to holiness. The gospel says, I know you cannot do it on your own. So Jesus Christ ushers you in into a relationship with God, saying, he's ushering you into this new relationship. So in concluding, what is the gospel? Now, the gospel is not a step-by-step process for you to get to heaven. The gospel is not something you do, raise a hand, fill out a card, say you're good, wash my hands, I'm done. And the gospel is not something you can do on your own to clean yourself up and come to God. Now, is this what you think of the gospel? What is the gospel? Well, the gospel is costly because ultimately it created a relationship with the God who created all things. The gospel is costly because it is the good news that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of all of God's promises. And the gospel is costly because it reveals that there is more to your life than your own selfishness. Because God, He embodied perfected relationship in Jesus Christ. And this selflessness that Jesus Christ embodied led Him to the cross. Do you understand this? The gospel is Jesus Christ. He is the fulfillment of all of God's promises. He is the embodiment of perfect relationship. Relationship with God the Father, relationship with others. Jesus Christ is the vertical relationship that we have with God, so that when we relate to one another in this horizontal relationship, we know how to do so in a godly and a biblical way. We look more and more like Jesus when we relate to others, not based out of our own hearts, our own pride, our own sin, our own selfishness, but in light of Jesus Christ. Now, do you believe this? Do you believe that you can turn to the world, you can go home, you can go look in that same mirror and say, I am a child of God, that I cannot do this on my own, that I will not take on what the world has to say about me or offer me, because I know that the gospel is so much richer, so much more wonderful, and so much more giving of life to you, to others? Do you believe this? Or do you believe the lies of the world? I challenge you this morning to go home, look in your mirror. Don't stare too long. That'd be kind of weird. Don't stare in the mirror and start fixing your hair. And you're like, oh, okay, I see this zit or, you know, this hair out of place. But really, look in the mirror and ask yourself, like, who are you? Who am I? Not in light of who you say you are, but in light of who God says you are. And if you look in the mirror and you say to yourself, I'm broken, I'm defeated, don't turn to the world, don't turn to yourself, but turn to Jesus and listen to who He says that you are. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for another opportunity to read Your word and to look at how not only we can relate to You, but relate to others and relate to ourselves. And Father, in light of the lies and the deceit the world brings to our hearts, to our minds, and to our hands, Father, I pray that we remind ourselves that we have this promise from You through Jesus Christ, that even when we do sin, even when we do stumble, we fall, when life throws some curveballs, I pray that we remember to turn to You, to Jesus, who is the ultimate propitiation of our sin, and that He is the only way and the only reason we can have a relationship with You, Father, with our neighbor, and with ourselves. A relationship that is filled not with the lies of the world, but filled with the good news of the gospel of Your grace. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.